Good evening. This is the conference call operator. Welcome to the presentation of the consolidated results of H1 2026, Gruppo REVO Insurance. All participants are in listening modes only. After the initial presentation, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. If you need to receive assistance by an operator during the conference, please dial star followed by zero. Speakers will be Alberto Minali, Managing Director, and Jacopo Tanaglia, CFO. The floor goes now to Alberto Minali. Please go ahead.
Thank you and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for being in this call. Now, I have a short strategic presentation on H1 2026, telling you that this was 6 months where we have perfectly executed the business plan we presented last year to the market. We have clear indications on the directions we are following. In terms of distribution, we've strengthened the relationships with brokers, especially thanks to a REVO underwriting. We have recruited around 400 new agents. You know that in the industrial plan, the target is 750, so we are reaching the right level. We also have distribution opportunities with Facile.it and Satispay. We keep working so much with agents and brokers. We keep offering a top quality service, a very quick one. Now, as for the distribution structure, it has become bigger because we have a new bank assurance manager. As we saw, there's some banks are shifting towards small and medium enterprises. So banks have got in touch with us because they want to work with REVO structured product, tailor-made products we have, thanks to this technological distribution platform, which connects very well, very quickly with banks' platforms. So that's, of course, a distribution channel that hadn't been enhanced in the industrial plan. We are sure it will deliver so much in the future. We've also widened our product range with the introduction of REVO for micro companies. We have redefined that REVO for micro companies turnover with 2 million euros up to 49 staff. We also have offered catastrophe coverage in a traditional way, but also in a parametric way. So we have widened the product range, which is considered to be very important because if you consider the parametric business, we now have more than 50,000 policies. So we are the only team in Italy being able to deliver this kind of insurance coverage, which are really interesting. Now, the OverX platform, which is the real technological beating heart of our company, this has been strengthened and empowered with new tools, new modules. Of course, I'm talking about AI. This gives us the opportunity to compare our products with competitors' products. We can be more dynamic in terms of replies. 98 to 95% of the business we have here in the company every single day, thanks to this kind of request, well, we respond within the day, which is a key topic. We also keep working with our training systems because we introduced AI in our processes. So different operators, liquidators, I mean, at the same time, we need to strengthen the quality of our human capital, and we do this with training programs. So again, this is ongoing, and it keeps going on throughout the year. You must have seen that just a few days ago, we managed to get an important transaction. So this was a developer with Eurocauzioni. So Jacopo will be talking about this. We keep looking for opportunities in terms of business specialty. So the idea is to expand our presence within the European context because we would like to buy small companies, very efficient, very effective, up and running with the right features in terms of risk protection and underwriting. So around those entities or enclaves, we will develop other business lines, and we will do with them what we managed to do so far in Spain. Now, Spain is delivering very well, and the Spanish team is now, well, kind of slowly, but in a very important way, this is a point of reference for the brokers' business in Spain. Now, all of this is based on the A-minus rating with Standard & Poor and AA for Standard Ethics. This confirms the commitments and engagement of the group in terms of ESG. This is not just an acronym to be printed on a piece of paper, but this is a fundamental point in our distribution product and financial investment strategies. This is it with my comments. I'd like to give the floor to Jacopo. He will share with you some numbers, then we will open the Q&A question and curiosities. Thank you so much, Roberto. Thank you so much for being connected to this conference concerning the results of H1. Now, as Alberto said in his speech, we consider it's 6 months which are so positive. Top line is up by 15%, so 230 million euros through H1, or the first 6 months of the year. Operating result is 29.1 million, and the net adjusted profits 16.4 million euros. It is really important to see that relative, so if you make a comparison with H1 25, well, H1 26 shows less adjustments. Now, this means that the growth is a little less strong or weaker if you make a 1H25, 1H26 comparison. If you don't consider adjustments, operating results are up by 23% and net profits are up by 19.5%. It is very important to highlight, before giving you details, the technical evolution, which is absolutely positive and in line as compared with the H1 25, and the CR, the combined ratio, is less than 85%. It is exactly 84.8%. This is slightly higher versus H1 25. But once again, it's improving versus full year, where the combined ratio was 86.3%. As for solvency ratio, SR, it is flat. It is above 220. In this very specific case, we now have 224%. As for the breakdown of the business we generated in H1, please have a look at slide number 6, where you can see a wonderful progression of sureties. You can see that this is a fundamental element for us because, as you know, this is one of the key businesses we have in our portfolio. At the same time, we have implemented a stabilization strategy as for the property segment. In that case, the growth was around 6%. So after this very strong, thrust that we saw in H1 2025, well, this has performed very well. We will see this in a couple of minutes from the technical point of view, but the approach we have had was to have a strong selection and once again, stabilization as compared with the H1 2026. At the same time, we need to see that some business lines are really growing quickly. There's an line that we have launched in the second quarter 2025. It was able to generate 7 million euros worth of premiums. So this is a wonderful boost, a wonderful contribution to diversify our portfolio. At the same time, it takes advantage of a major growth of the segment called specialty focus. I mean, this has to do with legal assistance and engineering. So this has grown substantially throughout H1, especially legal protection. There's been a progression close to 80%. In the background, what is really important is the contribution in terms of evolution and development of the parametric business. In that case, we've had a strong diversification, also and especially in terms of products, and again, especially in terms of business interruption and travel. In slide number 7, you will see a summary of what we have done in Spain with excellent results. So this is confirming that we're going towards the right direction. Now, we had a plan for 2026 with a total premium, which was 18 million euros at the end of the year. We have already reached around 10 million euros. Now, this represents, of course, yet another confirmation of how good the Madrid-based team is under the guidance of the new branch manager. We're now increasing, importantly, the commercial relationships and we are receiving the first claims. Now, those claims are absolutely easy to manage as compared with the size of the business we are developing. We now have 19 colleagues in the Madrid office. And in the next months, we will open the new offices because we need more offices, more rooms, so that the team will have the opportunity to grow just like the business grows. In terms of distribution, Alberto talked about the progression that we are seeing these days, thanks the Revo underwriting. The Revo underwriting represents the real heart, if you will, of the development of our agency network, especially small agencies and small brokers. The objective we have is to reach and overcome 750 brokers within the end of our plan. We will have 500 at the end of 2026, thus contributing to a further diversification of our channel. In our channel, we still have more brokers than agents. Now, there's a minor percentage difference versus H1 25. This number is due basically to business mix, which is what we've implemented in these 6 months. In slide number 9, in terms of numbers, well, this is the typical key slide because it gives you all the numbers, the main numbers of the main drivers concerning our operating dynamics. You can see that the loss ratio is unchanged at 32.3%. We've measured our position ratio and basically it depends on the distribution mix. So again, it depends on our portfolio's business mix and the loss ratio. Once again, it looks it's improving as compared with H1 2025, just because there's been an improvement of our operating leverage and cost reduction considering the development of the top line we are having. There's a negative impact on the H1 26. This is due to reassurance. In this case, the ratio has increased by 2.3% versus H1 25. So we have a slow recovery of claims from reassurance. This is due to the fact that the type of top claims, well, in some cases, the amount is very high. Anyway, that number has been small in the 6 months, so in H1 26, which is a good indicator. But when you do well from the technical gross point of view, well, on the other side, we just consider, if you will, the negative side instead of the positive side of the recovery. At the same time, we have adopted a higher retention strategy in terms of our portfolio. So we are giving out less in terms of reassurance versus the past. So in this case, we have to consider commissions, but in a couple of slides, you will see the segments of the contributions to this delta. For 1 second, let me go back to the loss ratio. So we would like to highlight that the surety portfolio has very, very well performed because the gross loss ratio is 15.5%. So this has improved versus 17.17% of 2025. Now, from the technical point of view, and despite the growth, and even thanks to the growth, we decided to implement the property segment because of favorable market condition. Loss ratio stays very positive because now we have 30.5% loss ratio, while we have 29.5% H1 2025. But considering this business segment, and because of the historical volatility of this line, this is an excellent performance that once again reconfirms how good the strategy adopted is in terms of underwriting this particular line. I am sure you remember that some business areas have been changed or reformed recently. This is why throughout H1 we see a contraction of this business as compared to H1 2025. So we have changed or adjusted our portfolio. This means that we would like to select even more strictly and carefully all the customers we would like to have. So all of this is actually translating into a technical improvement. You can see here the Ryan Transport loss ratio is 48.1% versus 61.2% we got in H1 2025. If you consider CBT, now you know that we insure the structures, as we say, in terms of motor vehicles. Now we have changed the portfolio based on the performance that was not positive. So once again, we haven't renewed some accounts because they turned out to be not profitable in the past quarters. So this will translate into an advantage in the next quarters. At the same time, we need to highlight a key point. This is another element that gives an important contribution to the technical results that we are getting. There's a not very particularly positive of after some years of very good performance because of the hail storms that we got in the first part of the year. In this case, the loss ratio is 88.5%, and because of the very special structure of this line, the impact was €2.1 million on our statements. So apart from the technical evolution, I also would like to highlight that we kept implementing the same integration logic of our provisions based on actuarial but also statistical models that we've been using for many, many years. So this was not a change at the end of December 25. It is not a change now at the end of June. So it's a sort of a support that we give just because we want to make sure that some, dynamics in terms of assessing the claims already claimed. I mean, this can be sort of, pre-planned and pre-introduced in our numbers. So the loss ratio that we get, which is 32.3%, already includes this kind of caution, if you will, inside our calculations or numbers. As for the reinsurance business, please refer to slide number 11 that is summarizing, if you will, the main parts and the main components and items that contributed to the increase by 2.3%. On the one side, we saw a reduction of the proceeds due to reinsurance, but at the same time, this has been offset by a cost reduction. In terms of income, as we said before, we have received less claims for some coverage that has not been implemented, less commissions, and this is due to the fact that we've implemented new measures or retention in our portfolio. And again, this retention of the portfolio contributed to reduce the cost having to do with the transfer. In slide number 12, well, this represents the bridge, if you will, between the insurance business operating result and adjusted operating results. I'm sure you remember that the adjusted operating results in 2025 benefited from around €1 million of costs, I have it to say, with the extraordinary plan that was foreseen for 2025, plus €0.5 million, well, exactly €0.6 million of other costs incurred in order to launch the industrial plan that was presented in June 2025 again. Now, in terms of investments, well, I wouldn't, raise any point on any substantial change. The strategy is unchanged. I mean, the strategy is very cautious, prudent in terms of management of our assets. Well, I have to say that we've taken advantage of some favorable conditions that we found during the 6 months of the year. So we have a longer duration of our assets now, but this is sort of short and highly matched with the duration of liabilities. Average portfolio rating is flat, so the average is A. And for the time being, we have no structural exposure. So also in this case, we work in a very tactical way, and we have to consider the fluctuations of the financial markets. Now, it goes without saying that this is an element that is highly appreciated by rating agencies. As Alberto said before in his initial speech, they have recently reconfirmed our A-. This is the last number slide, so number 14. In this case, we have solvency ratio, SR, which is, as I said before, is flat in terms of closing the financial year, which is 224%. Now, this is a very important element, in my opinion, because as has been highlighted quite often in our meetings, if you have a large, high capital level, this means we have more strategic leverage. And this kind of strategic power, if you will, means that we can, assess the opportunities on the markets that you may want to have with your caution. So this is a broker now working in Belgium and in Luxembourg. So this organization would like to expand in the Low Countries in the Netherlands. So the team, which is now operating within the company, would be able to keep growing, and this will be done within Revo. Revo will create dedicated branch just like the other branches. So we will have Revo Benelux. Now, Revo Benelux will be our operating arm in that geography. Well, at the same time, what is fundamental to highlight is the following. I mean, this transaction will give us the right context. This is included into our growth pathway, which is right the most important segment for us, which is shorties. Now, shorties as a segment belong to the specialty focus lines, which are the high profitability lines. So for this transaction, and thanks to this operation, we will have more than 20 million euros worth of premiums, an increase in the average profitability, and together with stability of our portfolio, this opening the doors to further developments in other business lines that throughout the next month or so, together with Alessandro Rizzo. Now, Alessandro is the key person for this business in the company, so we will identify those opportunities. Now, currently, I have to remind you that this organization has now 14 staff. They will generate premiums in the shorty business around 10 million euros. So once again, 10 million euros starting from 2027 will be generated with this kind of company. And once again, we would like to overcome 20 million to exceed 20 million in 2029. As for 2026, we will have 2.3 million with an EBITDA margin, which is what happens for brokers, which is very high, very important for us. And as you can see here, look at the rest of the transaction. So those profits are absolutely aligned. So in this case, you have to make a comparison with the momentum considering M&A operations. Now, in terms of brokerage, that this is a highly discussed segment. There are plenty of concentrations. It was the object of plenty of concentrations throughout the past years. And this is the reason why we are, very happy of the dynamic. And we closed this transaction. This means that there's plenty of protection for us in terms of protection, but also in terms of protecting our interest on a medium term. The last point I would like to highlight concerning this transaction, I'm talking about IT investments. So just like what happened in Spain, IT investments will be small. So we will try and scale, so take advantage of those skills and those platforms that we have developed in-house also in this new geography. We will also have the possibility to use our internal resources for funding the operation. But if there are favorable conditions on the financial markets, well, we may want to get the subordinated debt so we can start, if you will, optimizing our financial leverage. And we will be doing this throughout the next quarters or so. So we will see what happens on the market. It depends on what we see on the markets within the end of the year. Anyway, this is a good option, so we think it's interesting. So this is the reason why we will analyze this in depth. So this is it for the time being with the presentation of our financial results. So the floor goes to you for any kind of question. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. This is the Chorus Call operator. We start now the Q&A session. This is for financial analysts. If you want to ask a question, please dial star now followed by one on your phone. If you want to be removed from the booking list, please dial star followed by two. Please ask your questions by using the receiver of your phone. Once again, if you want to ask a question, please dial star followed by one now. Question number one comes from Gabriele Venturi, Banca Akros. Please go ahead. Good evening, everyone, and thank you so much. I have one question. Now, I know it may be quite early for this kind of question. Anyway, what about, 2029? What about the Eurocaution 2029, increased expected? Because I think that gradually this will be added to 2029. So there will be additional business lines to the shorty systems. I think I understand there would be a step-by-step ramp up. So can we have some extra light on what will happen after 2029, please? Thank you. Gabriele, thank you so much for the question. Well, let's say that the reference market is a very interesting market from our point of view, because in the context that I plan to a specialist, of course, I'm talking about Benelux, right? So looking further, so after 2029, our strategy won't be that different versus the one we have already adopted successfully, by the way, in Spain. So, well, we may imagine there may be a similar growth rates, but once again, we need to be cautious and pay attention, because we need to select the right business lines apart from the shortest that have to be managed easily by the right person and profitable, because the business will be underwriting, well, will turn into good business because we absolutely blindly trust the underwriting skills we have in the team. So this is going to be the first thing we have to do. Once again, a screening or selection of staff together with the chief underwriting officer, CUO, we will be identifying the most profitable lines. Now, maybe after 2029, there will be a progression, if you will, of the business similar to Spain's, but it's, as you say, a little too early. Now, in terms of the, you know, substance, well, the approach will be the same. As for the 20 million euros that you can see here for 2029, well, this only concerns the surety business. And for the time being, I have to say that in this business, there's a strong concentration in Luxembourg, because this is the main reference country for this kind of business in terms of Eurocaution. But there are operations in Belgium as well. So from here to 2029, our priority will be to expand, first and foremost, the surety segment of the surety business. There will be new business in the Luxembourg markets. We will also be expanding the Belgium segment or geography. Then we need to understand if we can do something good also in the Netherlands in terms of shortages. So starting with shortages, we will have a business approach, which is very similar to Spain's. But of course, we start from a very solid, sturdy base. Thank you so much. Very clear. The next question is from Alberto Villa Intermonte. Please go ahead. Thank you so much. Good evening and hello, everyone. I have a couple of questions now. The first one is on the 2026 targets. So can you confirm the 350 million euros for this year in terms of adjusted operating result, which should be 55 million? In this case, the other key number is 85%, considering the trends of H1 2025 and 2026. So is this confirmed, or do you think you will have room to do better? Point number two, in terms of reassurance, now I know there's short-term volatility, which is what we saw in Q2 as well. So what about this kind of business? I mean, are you seeing some change that you may want to highlight? The third question is on Eurocaution acquisition. I think this is very interesting. So do we have other business with surety apart from Luxembourg, Belgium, and the Netherlands? Because you think that this looks like the Italian surety market, or do you think there are big differences? What about the EBITDA margin? May I think of something like 10 million euros, considering Eurocaution and even considering their premium levels, so we'll go to 20 million euros. Or you said before, you don't want to be just brokers, you want to change the distribution model. So these are my four questions, please. Thank you. Thank you so much for your questions. Let me take the question on the targets and Eurocaution. Now, as for the targets, well, yes, definitely I do confirm that our target is to overcome 450 million, so exceeding 450 million at the end of the year. So also in terms of the operating result, we will stick to what we said. So around 55, as you said, things may evolve and change, especially when it comes to the agro business. I know that the month of July, I mean, just to talk about the time window that we are considering. So once again, July turned out to be a positive month from the technical evolution. This means that we are absolutely trustful and we can keep the combined ratio at the end of the financial year. That would be 85-ish%. As for Eurocaution and the reference market, well, that market is an interesting one in terms of size. It is basically worth something like 35 to 40 million euros. This is the Luxembourg reference market, but of course we have room for growth. So we need to increase the specialization from Eurocaution with bonds, so we can keep growing this segment in Benelux around 300 million euros. So this is what we plan. Basically, a little bit smaller than the Italian one, bigger than the Spanish one, by the way. So, of course, as you said, we do have some room for maneuver and room for improvement as well. As for the brokerage performances, well, of course, they have to be taken into account when you consider the whole business case. Now, in this case, I'm not just talking about the developments of the broker's business, but it aims at generating premiums for Revo. So the beating heart of this transaction means that the premiums, which are now under the brokerage of Eurocaution, will become Revo premiums with immediate beneficial reactions because we have a very good quality underlying base from the technical point of view. So there will be more premiums from brokers. Well, the more the better, because, you know, brokers are highly appreciated on the market, and this is a benefit for us because it turns into value. Anyway, the real value, I'm sure, will be represented by the real production, as we say. This is why we would like to work on sureties. At the same time, there would be a big, big thrust and driving energy on that segment, as I said before. Alberto, let me take the question of the reassurance. So now we have a very interesting situation in terms of reassurance because the gross rate is very low. As Jacopo said before, fortunately or unfortunately, well, the system is different in insurance companies. So we have two different approaches. Caution in terms of always protecting our portfolio and risk profile, and at the same time, medium to long-term investors' interests. Now, the company has grown so much since we've taken it. I mean, it's from 70 million. Now we reach 450 million euros at the end of the year, maybe more than this. This structure has been improved, but not that much. So, if you will, the setup was unchanged. So we need to talk about this. In the month of September, there would be, Jacopo working with other officers in order to really understand how to increase the effectiveness of this business, because it's just like a marriage. I mean, it's excellent in terms of gross, a little bit less in terms of net. But, you know, this is a sort of a, well, negative situation. I mean, we receive exceptional coverage guarantees. I mean, we have a wonderful relationship, so with very good reassurance, excellent agreements. So before changing in the future, I mean, we really, really need to think twice. There may be some changes, and maybe we will go towards claims. We will sort of spend a little bit less with reassurance so that the share will change. Anyway, this is a medium-term pathway, so no rush, no instant media things. Once again, this is a medium-term relationship because relationships with reassurers are fundamental. So you can see here the consequences of the work that we will do after holidays, but together with the CFO, he's smiling because, I mean, we need to get, you know, the hat with something magic inside. Thank you so much. Very last follow-up question on Eurocaution. When do you think to also use a subordinate debt? So which kind of size, if at all possible, and which is the cost that you may think you will be able to fund? Well, in terms of the subordinate, I mean, the size, it will be compatible with our size. So I'm considering something like 20 to 25 million euros, but Alberto, it very much depends on conditions that we can find on the market. You may have favorable conditions in that case, so we can do more than 25. It's a little too early, but recently some bonds have been issued by other competitors. Their size is different than ours. I mean, I'm talking about Italian competitors. So I do not expect the huge deltas or differences versus what has just happened on the market. Of course, we will strive to take advantage of our A-minus rating because of the seasoned element, which is highly appreciated by investors. Now, this is to highlight that some time ago, so before this operation, some investment banks and some of our, let's say, partners, that they have encouraged us, I mean, to consider issuing debt in order to increase efficiency of our capital. So at that time, we didn't have any transaction on the table, and then based on our position and assets solidity, this is an interesting opportunity, an interesting window. So of course, we will investigate the opportunities around the market, but there won't be costs so different versus those that you must have seen recently on the market. Thank you. The next question is from Andrea Lisi from Equita, please. Hello, everyone. Good evening. Well, actually, my question has already been answered. But anyway, I would like to know if it's possible to have an update on the development of the banking channel. Because if I'm not mistaken, Alberto has just mentioned this at the very beginning of the call, but I was not there at the very beginning of the conference. And then as compared to the last time we had a call, Vittoria has taken a very important role in terms of shareholders. So are you having a dialogue? Are you having good relationships with Vittoria from the business point of view? Thank you. Thank you for your questions. Now, as for the first question, bank assurance channel, this channel will be intensively developed throughout the next years. For the time being, we have some agreements in force with Banco Desio for the size of business. We will also go to other products. So we're now focused on the first one with Banco Desio. We can also confirm today the agreement we have with UniCredit for the cyber business. We're working on other product categories. Now, these two banks have two completely different size, but we work with the same intensity and with the same technology. So there's plenty of synergistic technological effects, which are so important. We have 10 more banking operators knocking at the door we are working with, we are talking to. So there's some growing business in terms of bank assurance. So I have to say that it was not so exactly written in the industrial plan because we thought that the specialty business couldn't have been sold easily by banks, while now banks are, you know, selling insurance solutions. We also have to work in terms of engineering, surety, and specialty-focused risks because they have the highest profitability for us. The system is ready. The setup was done, so we will get in touch with banks in September. The second question, if I'm not mistaken, is Vittoria's shareholding. I don't remember exactly what the number is. I think it must be between 15 and 20%. Again, if I'm not mistaken, I'm not sure. We consider Vittoria an important shareholder, but the mantra we have here is we need to have as much business as possible. We need to get business. We don't want to, overlap with Vittoria in a coordinated way. I mean, we are competitors. So we work in co-assurance with many other market operators. So when it happens with Vittoria as well, there are no special agreements, there are no special conditions with Vittoria. So they absolutely respect our company, and I'm sure we want to, you know, continue along this pathway. Now, in general, for all the reassurance shareholders, if you want to increase your part in our capital, it's a pleasure. But for us, they are competitors, and we keep competing into this arena with service, quality, and speed. We do this with everyone. So if at all possible, we work with everyone because it's a very great, fair approach. I mean, we want to work with all the brokers, all the agents, and all the channels. Once again, this is the omni-channel system that we talked about when unveiling the plan. So we have great relationship with Vittoria. They do respect the river. They have a high technical quality. We know very well the people working there. So we also know very well the shareholder. So we respect them, but of course we play our role in business. And I think that this is the, I mean, typical features that Revo will have in the next years. Thank you so much. I have a follow-up question, if at all possible, on the banking business. When do you think you can start with the cyber products? Then we will see if you will also go to other products. So when, in your opinion, is this going to become very striking, very evident? Because, once again, what are your expectations? I mean, do you think it will have a concrete impact in terms of the financial statements? Well, Giacomo, maybe you want to take this question? I have to say that the main objective for the end of the year is around 1 million euro worth of production on this channel. And then, of course, we would like to ramp up in the next years or so. So, as for the agreements we have now, there will also be new agreements in the next months or so. They start slowly because, of course, we need to create the banking network. Products and machines that have to speak to each other. In bank assurance agreements, so we always have a third party between us and the bank, which is usually a top quality bank-related broker, so they do post-sale. You know, the post-sales activities are very expensive. We don't want to get them into our cost structure because this is very expensive and there are fluctuations. So I need to, well, if we did this, we would go underwater. Okay, so there's a broker in the way. So it starts kind of slowly, but then after, you know, the first round, the machine, if you will, would be a very satisfactory one. So the channel will also give us a high level of satisfaction. Thank you. Thank you. For the time being, we have no other questions booked. Very well. Then thank you so much. So also on behalf of Jacopo and my colleagues, I would like to thank you for your interest, the time and questions. We are always available for insights and further questions. So once again, you can get in touch with us if and whenever you want. Well, I think we are all tired. Maybe only the young women that that work here are still very fresh. Anyway, thank you so much. We will see you in September. Chorus Call operator, the conference is over. You can disconnect your telephones. Thank you.